Today we're going to kind of get in a time machine for every one of you, because you're all going to be part of this presentation this morning. You're all believers, but all you know is what you've been taught, and you're sitting here and trying to decide that something seems to be missing. So you've come to this presentation that is offering to help you get on a journey to discover if this is all there is. Have I missed anything? Or something's missing in my church experience. You know, you're seeking something, but you're not sure what it is. So you don't know anything about what was revealed to Paul after the end of Acts. That's where you are. And I want you to role play with me today as you view this presentation. And then at the end of each session, you're going to have the opportunity, time will limit us today, to ask any questions that may have arisen. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. See, you didn't know. Now, there is no pay for being actors, okay? So, and there's no disclaimers to sign. So, in fairness or in full transparency, Alan Nass and myself, you know, have this heart to be able to hold such a conference. So in a sense, this is a rehearsal. But I think, well, I know that the Lord is going to bless you as he's blessed us in preparing for this. And so as we go along here, have your scriptures, your Bibles open. I've got a lot of scripture already printed here. Going into the role play now, you have all of the slides in front of you as a handout, so you can feel free to take notes and make questions. A fellow by the name of J. Eustace Mills wrote a book called All Truth. And from his book, we have tried to get on the same track that he was on to develop this presentation. And so this isn't the work at all of Dave Bickle or Alan Nass. Its foundation is going to be found in the book All Truth, and if you haven't read it, I certainly recommend that you do. So, happy to see all of you here. I'm sure you have no idea what's going to happen today. I'm not theologically trained. I started studying scripture in 1981 and had the privilege to sit under either in person or in Bible studies in books with some very fine teachers. Not God, but certainly directed and led by God. And through that, I was able to grow. So I don't have any initials after my name giving me spiritual credibility. But I do look to the Holy Spirit always to direct me and my words. So what you're going to see today is going to come solely from the Word of God. We're not bringing in any denominational direction, what have you. We're going to look solely into the Word of God on this journey, which I've entitled Discovering All Truth. And it's going to be a search through the testimony of Scripture for the treasure. So the objective today is that all of you may walk out of this conference having found the treasure. And we're going to use that verse of Scripture as a tool to guide us. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So open up your Bibles to John chapter 16, verse 7. We're going to read 7 through 16, 17. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. So, as we look a little closer at it, verse 16, note it. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, shall guide you into all truth, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come. So there's an implication here that perhaps you've thought that, you know, I must go to read the words that Christ uttered in his earthly ministry to find all the truth. But you can see what he's saying here is, I'm not sharing everything with you because you cannot bear them at this time. So here's a hint that we need to follow. So we have the promise of the Comforter. We have another Comforter. And that Comforter is even the Spirit of truth. And if we look at 1 John 2:1, we'll find that that original Comforter is Christ. John calls him a Paraclete. So another Comforter is the Spirit of truth. And then in John 16:12-14, if you look there, Christ did not state that his words were the fullness of revelation, that further revelation of truth was to come through the Spirit of truth. All truth was not revealed by the Lord in person during his ministry, and all truth was to be concerning him and would glorify him. Amen. The entirety of the truth. God is pleased to make known to us. There are several scriptures that we'll cover today that are going to really, if you don't have it totally now, hopefully you will be totally fulfilled that God has a desire that you would know all truth He's not trying to keep it from you. So, where are we going to find the entirety of truth? In a scripture. What are we looking for? The further or the rest of the truth for his faithful. How? After the Lord Jesus Christ was exalted and seated, the Spirit of truth was to further reveal God's truth. So there was a process, and Christ had to be seated before any further truth could be revealed. And where can this be found? Only where the Lord promised it should be given. The leading of the Holy Spirit after the Lord was exalted would be a part of that. There is no question here, though, as to are we being disloyal to Christ and loyal to the Spirit of truth. May it never be so. This is the Godhead. You will see that the most glorious things, this is what you're going to see concerning him, are not found in what he said during his earthly ministry. They are found in the words given by the Spirit of truth who came to bear witness to Christ. So there's no approach avoidance here. This is all in accord to God's will. So something we must understand as we move forward on this search. The first thing we need to do is get a background. And so if we look at Luke 23:34, we see that the prayer of Christ, as he was being crucified, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, this had a great impact. Sometimes it's missed throughout Christendom, but it's very important to understand this. What was the result of the answer to this prayer? It was a continuation of his earthly ministry, and it was going to be conducted or continued by his disciples. That is, Christ's purpose in coming unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel was to be continued, even though he was crucified, buried, resurrected, and will be ascended, which he was in the first chapter of Acts. That he prepared, before he made that ascension, his disciples to carry on his ministry. Amen. In Acts 2, verse 4, we see the disciples filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter addresses the crowd subsequently, "Ye men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem." Judea, that's a key. There are no Gentiles here. Subsequently, when they went to the temple in chapter 3 of Acts, we know there were no Gentiles in the temple. So you can look at Acts chapter 2 and chapter 3 of these verses and review that. So this ministry was conducted by preaching and also by writing. We call those writings the epistles. And there were four writers of the disciples, Peter, John, James, and Jude. And so, if we're trying to find any further revelation or truth, we need to examine, you know, what was the message that Peter, John, James, and Jude were laying forth. And when you do complete that examination, and I hope that you walk out of here grasping this truth, what did they preach? What did they teach? only the things foreseen by the prophets and Moses. That is, they were using what we call the Old Testament for their resources to continue the ministry of our Lord. What is the purpose of these epistles? I've listed several for you there in your notes, and you can look at them, but specifically, let's turn to Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. And Peter says there, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Not learning something new, but putting you in remembrance. Remembrance of what? What was said by the Lord, who was speaking what was written in Moses and the prophets alone. We're going to get the same message as we continue through the rest of those scriptures, and I'm going to give that to you as homework once you leave today.
Excuse me, Dave. You keep mentioning like we're supposed to have a handout.
No.
Okay.
We're role-playing, so you've got them right there in front of you, Mark.
I understand.
just go ahead and write on them. So in examining these epistles written by the disciples, did we find any evidence of the all truth of which Christ spoke? I believe you're going to come up with the same answer that I have. Not yet. We don't see it there. We know that many precious things are revealed in these epistles. The teachings of Moses and the prophets are expanded, more fully explained for our understanding. But it's obvious that their general purpose is not to unfold further truth. The intent is just to establish the believers in what was already known. And that's the way we learn, is being caused to remember. That's what our teachers have done for us as we've grown up. We're put in remembrance. Through the prophets, and a remembrance of the words of the Lord, they were continuing this ministry. So, in our quest, the objective today is, can we find in Scripture this all truth, this further truth? Well, interestingly enough, Peter points us kind of in the right direction. He said about the Apostle Paul in 2 Peter 3:15 and 16, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them, of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own to their own destruction. Paul, what are you saying? Well, did Paul have this experience in his ministry? Yeah, he was called up. If you'll check the book of Acts, chapter 16, to a council. I think it's chapter 16, might be 15, to the Council of Jerusalem to explain what he was teaching the Gentiles. He was teaching them something different than what was being taught to the Jews. And that was that they could be saved by faith through grace. And he had to explain it. But the Holy Spirit in that council witnessed that what Paul was doing was appropriate and good. And Paul received the blessing of the council to continue this ministry. So right from the beginning, Paul's ministry was a little bit different than Peter, John, James, and Jude, and the other disciples. So, as we seek, you know, where in Scripture, if at all, further truth was revealed, we need to first start and look in the same period in which these disciples were writing, and we'll call that period the book, the Acts period, the book of Acts. So it would be appropriate to look at the epistles that Paul wrote during the book of Acts. In Acts 26, 22, and 23, here's his testimony. Whether what Paul is writing during the book of Acts, he's unfolding further truth. And here's what he says. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and the Gentiles.
That's pivotal.
It is. That's what Paul taught. Just as the other disciples were teaching. They were teaching the resurrection of Christ and its meaning to those who would believe. And there's a lot more teaching. We could take weeks and years just regarding that wonderful truth. So, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first to rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Now there are the fact here is when Paul is stating this, he's in front of Agrippa, but he's knows he's bound for Rome, but he's not gone to Rome yet. He does get to Rome, and he's going to have his last teaching experience, if you want to call it that, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 28. The books he wrote during the Acts period are Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and I'm going to add personally, I believe he wrote Hebrews as well. So, when we see him saying, I've taught none other things, what are these none other things? There are three that we looked at. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead. Okay? Number one. Number two, well, before I get to number two, if you want this fully expounded, Paul does it for you in the first eight chapters of the book of Romans. And if you haven't studied that in a while, my recommendation after this conference, that's a great place to start. Number two, and show light unto the people. People? Which people? Israel, to the Jew first. Paul will testify all during the book of Acts that his ministry was to the Jew first. Well, wait a second, Dave. I'll raise a question. Pastor, well, I've always been taught that the Jews were off the record at the beginning of Acts. Well, whoever they is or whoever told you, You should come back and encounter that when you see these things in the book of Acts to the Jew first. The Jews were the recipients. They were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is to whom Christ came. He states it in his own words in the Gospels. And then finally, Paul says, and to the Gentiles. And this is the distinctive feature of Paul's testimony, being the apostle to the uncircumcision. And we also, to back up what I'm saying about Christ's mission, he says in Romans 15, 8 and 9, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Paul, the apostle to the uncircumcision. Christ, the minister of the circumcision. Yet, have we found in Paul further truth in the epistles he wrote during the Acts period? What do you think? Right. We haven't. The things revealed to Paul, however, by the risen Christ were fuller than anything found in the Old Testament. Remember the Damascus Road experience when Paul, he alone heard the risen Lord speak to him. He was told that he was going to get some information. And shortly thereafter, Paul went into the wilderness and was taught by the Lord. He was not taught by any man how the scriptures lined up with God's purpose so that he could be that able minister. And so hence we see him, and I referred to it earlier, Romans chapters 1 through 8, this great exposition on the need of salvation and the workings of salvation. And Paul affirms that he had not spoken anything beyond what had been foreseen by Moses and the prophets. That this is all on teaching. And in his stop, on his journey back to Jerusalem, and he stopped at Ephesus, and addressing the elders, Paul said, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. That is, I'm not holding back. You've gotten all that God has for me for you. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. That's his oath. Amen. For I have shunned not to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I have declared it all unto you. Further, in Romans 15, 19, he says, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I've taught everything there is to know. So Paul's ministry up to this date, as to the doctrine taught, we see in Acts 26 that we read. As for territory covered, he's been everywhere all the way to Illyricum. What did he teach? No other things than those which the prophet and Moses did say should come. Amen. Paul is claiming to have exercised a complete ministry at this time. The whole council, when he's there before Agrippa, this is where I am. You know, I've done it all. So, After Agrippa, who almost believed, and I'm hoping today we'll get you over, you know, if we find this all truth, we'll get you over that point of almost believing. Paul heads to Rome, and we see this in Acts 20, 22, 24, Romans 15, 23, and 29. We see Paul from these scriptures, knowing that bonds and afflictions were ahead for him. We have him testifying before Agrippa. Let's just look at Acts 26, 13 through 16. See, Paul gives us an account in Acts three times of his Damascus Road experience. And this is the last testimony of that experience. If we see, he starts in verse 13, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things in which I will appear unto thee." Now, as we look up here, there is a key here that we're not going to hear in his own, in Luke's account in chapter 9 of Acts, nor in chapter 22, when Paul again is giving his testimony. But now, we have a clue here that may help us in our journey of discovery today. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto you, unto thee. Take this. There's going to be another appearance of Christ to Paul sometime in the future. So this is the first. You know, we don't see this until we get here to this, almost to the end of the Acts period. When we look at that second time that he testified, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." This was in Acts 22:15. And those words in his Paul's testimony were spoken by Ananias. Ananias told him this. "For thou," Christ told Ananias what to say, "For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." End of story. The promise of a subsequent revelation is an important fact in our search to discover how all truth may be unfolded. Where are those things? Where are those things eventually made known? Paul arrives in Rome, and he preaches to the Jewish leaders. In Acts 28:23. We see. "And when they had appointed him a day, there came to him, came many to him into his lodging. And to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Was this new? No. The same testimony.
That's the these things, not those things.
These things which you have seen and heard. So then the history of Acts concludes in that last chapter with Paul a prisoner. So we want to know, how did God deal with Paul the prisoner in Rome? Well, when he was a prisoner, he wrote five epistles. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, 2 Timothy, and Philemon. These five out of seven post-Acts epistles that Paul wrote were written from prison. And we really need to go there to see if we can find this all truth that Christ said and promised. Something new or fuller unfolding of the things contained in the Old Testament. That would be our examination benchmark or principle. Is the same, or is there something new? Well, we want to discover, are we going to see something that is unique and unforeseen in these epistles? If we do, we may have found it. And this is going to depend, you know, on our examination of these epistles. Our examination. We don't have to have anyone examine it for us. God desires that we examine and come to that conclusion. So, if you open up to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, and I think we're on to something. He is saying, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Ooh. And then he goes on to say, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. I'm going to just share with you that if you dig a little deeper, you'll find that that word fellowship is the Greek word when translated administration or dispensation. So, to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery. Now, here's the important thing that tells me that we've honed in on it. I think we've found it. And the word mystery means secret. It's a secret. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Wow. Now, we're getting there. Colossians, turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 and 26. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. My eyes are starting to get a little wider here. My heart is starting to beat a little faster.
So are you saying that there's not going to be any more scripture given after Paul?
Well, I can't answer that until we look.
Remember now, I don't know anything.
I know you don't know anything.
What,
but And Ronnie can't hold his questions to the end either. But that's a legitimate question. Well, let's find out. If we look here, it says, you know, in verse 25, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Note, been hid in God from the beginning of the world, and had been hid from ages and from generations. We cannot go back to the Old Testament and search. We cannot search Moses. We cannot search the prophets to find what now Paul is writing of what was revealed to him and his purpose as a minister to make all see. So, as I said, can't be Old Testament founded. This could not, having been hidden God, hid from generations, have formed part of Paul's testimony during the time when his words were confined to none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. The truth revealed under the title The Mystery must therefore of necessity be something new and unforeseen in relation to Moses and the prophets and the earlier ministry of Paul. Amen. So, Ronnie asks, is there, therefore, that all truth? Will there be yet further things into which the Spirit of truth will guide us? Let's look at Colossians 1 again. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Let's look at that word fulfill. Fulfill is the English translation of the Greek word pleroo, which amongst its other meanings means complete. We're going to see this word used in chapter 2 of Colossians when Paul says that we are complete in him. Oscar Baker, a teacher of mine from a little town up in Warsaw, you know, said when that means, you know, complete, it means filled to the full. Okay, filled to the full. And if I take a glass and fill it to the full of water, how much more water can I add to that?
None.
And so this is an absolutely imperative word here, that what Paul received after being a prisoner after the end of Acts in Rome, this further truth completed the word of God. Therefore, the answer is no. We can expect no further revelation from God. He has given it all to us. So the mystery completed the word of God. It is this mystery that fills up the word of God as the cornerstone completes any building. You know, if you think of the arch, the masonry arch coming up, that thing can look complete almost, but if that keystone or cornerstone is not set in that arch or set in that building, all kinds of things could unravel. The promise, he will guide you into all truth, that we read in John 16, verse 13, is realized to the full in the revelation given to Paul that he expounds in his epistles in prison. Paul had two ministries. During the Acts period, what did he teach? Class? None of the things. Paul's ministry after Acts was that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So, we've covered on our journey the promise of Christ that was that the Spirit of truth would guide us into all truth. We found the end of our journey in Colossians 1, 25, 26, and Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. So, we just scratched the surface here. So, the next appropriate question to ask is, what is the riches of the glory of this mystery? Well, that's a question. And after the break, Brother Alan Nass is going to come up, and we're going to continue to unfold this revelation that Paul received to begin his second ministry after he was in Rome, imprisoned, and we look forward to that. Now, I've got just 2 or 3 minutes for questions. You've already had one, Ronnie. Mark.
You made a critical point in Colossians 1, 25 and 26, talking about that word fulfill.
Yes.
The grammar in that, when you described that as imperative, were you talking about the Greek grammar, the voice, or was that your characterization of what was implied?
That was my characterization,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a really good one, but I
was yeah. Yeah. Yeah, good question. Other questions? Yes, Penny? Where does Revelations fit in where all of this goes? Well, I think one way to describe that would be a teacher of mine said, you know, if we took out all of the epistles that Paul wrote when he was in prison and those other two, 1 Timothy and Titus, if we took those all out of Scripture, if we were able to do so, we'd have a complete story. We'd have a complete story, and it was mentioned by one of the speakers yesterday, that as we're looking at Christ's ministry and the ministries of the disciples and Paul, they're, during the Acts period, they're anticipating very soon the return of the Lord Jesus Christ because they knew the truth. They had studied the Apostle Daniel. They knew by dating that those 70 weeks of years, 490 years, would end in 85 A.D. So, John wrote Revelation during the Acts period, and it was a fuller expounding of what the prophet Daniel and other prophets had so completely pointed us to.
John said, of those I'm revealing those things which must shortly come to pass.
Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But doesn't that raise another question? Well, now, wait a second. Christ should have returned in 85 A.D., but here we are in 2019.
What happened?
Well, after the break, we're going to continue on that journey. We may not get quite that question answered. But, so, let's, 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, let's take a 15, 20 minute break and, then we'll bombard you with more questions.